Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a word you hear everywhere. Manifestation. You know, it often gets painted as this almost mystical thing. Like just thinking hard about something makes it appear.
Right. Maybe light a candle, put it out to the universe. And look, from a purely scientific standpoint, that framing sounds, well, a bit silly. But that's exactly why we're here. Our mission is to do a real deep dive, to get past the buzzwords.
Yeah, we want to explore the actual science, the neuroscience, the psychology, even some quantum ideas that show how this stuff can work. We're talking about evidence-based goal setting, moving way beyond just, you know, magical thinking.
Exactly. We want to understand how our focused thoughts, our emotions, our intentions, how they can measurably shape what happens to us, not through magic, but through understandable biological processes.
So it's like figuring out how to actually use our own internal wiring.
Precisely. Think of it as understanding the mechanisms already built into us. We'll look at how you can literally start to rewire your brain and how you align your everyday actions, your behavior, with what you actually intend to achieve. It's about using the science we already know.
Okay, let's get into it then. Where do we start? Maybe with the brain's filter.
Perfect place. We start with the reticular activating system, the RAS. It's deep in the brainstem.
The gatekeeper's right. It manages the flood of information hitting us constantly.
An unbelievable flood.
Yeah.
Billions of stimuli every single second. Think about it. The hum of the lights, the feeling of your clothes, background noise. The RAS filters almost all of it out, like 99.9% of it. It has to decide what tiny fraction gets through to your conscious awareness, what's relevant.
Okay, so relevance is key. We all know that example, like you buy a red car and suddenly see red cars everywhere.
That's the RAS in action. But let's scale that up. Think about a really ambitious goal. Maybe finding a unique business opportunity or connecting with a mentor who can, you know, really change things for you.
How does the RAS help there?
When you focus intensely on that goal, when you make it truly important in your mind, you're essentially programming your RAS. You tell it, hey, information related to this specific outcome is now high priority.
Ah, so it stops being background noise.
Exactly. Your RAS starts actively scanning your environment, conversations you overhear, articles you skim, people you meet looking for data points that match your focus goal. It connects your conscious intention with all that unconscious sensory input it's constantly processing.
So the big insight here isn't just that focus helps you concentrate, it actually changes what you perceive.
It literally changes your perceptual reality. Opportunities, ideas, connections that were effectively invisible before, your RAS now flags them, pushes them into your conscious mind. Pay attention to this.
Wow. Okay, so that leads to a practical step, doesn't it? We need to tell the RAS what to look for.
You got it. Be intentional about programming that filter. So, a concrete takeaway for you listening. Write down one goal. Make it specific, make it measurable. Then just spend maybe 2 minutes each morning visualizing it. But visualize it as already done. Feel the success. That intense focus is the instruction set for your RAS for the day.
Okay, so the RAS highlights the opportunity. But seeing it isn't enough, right? You have to believe you can act on it.
Absolutely. That brings us to the power of expectation. And the clearest scientific proof we have for this is the placebo effect.
Mind over matter, essentially.
In a very real biological way, yes. The placebo effect shows that belief alone, your expectation, can trigger measurable physical and emotional changes in your body. We're talking neurotransmitter release, pain reduction, actual symptom improvement, just based on believing you've received an effective treatment. Expectation shapes biology.
I always think back to that Harvard study, the one on knee surgery from 2001.
Yeah.
Pretty mind-blowing.
It really is. Patients who thought they were getting arthroscopic knee surgery but actually just had incisions made reported the same pain relief and improved mobility as the ones who got the real procedure.
Their belief created the result.
Their internal expectation generated the clinical outcome, which is powerful stuff. But it also raises a key question for anyone trying to apply this. If belief is that powerful, why can't we just believe our way to winning the lottery or, you know, becoming a CEO overnight? Why isn't belief alone enough?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If I just believe I'm successful, what's missing?
Action. But more fundamentally, it's because your beliefs don't just influence how you feel. They dictate your choices. your behaviors.
How so?
Well, let's say your RIS points out a great opportunity, but deep down, maybe unconsciously, you have a limiting belief like, I'm not really capable enough, or good things don't happen to people like me. That underlying belief will shape how you react. You might hesitate, procrastinate, interpret the opportunity as too risky, maybe even subconsciously sabotage it. So belief doesn't magically create the outcome, but it absolutely shapes the behaviors that lead towards or away from that outcome.
Okay, that makes total sense. Beliefs drive decisions, decisions drive actions, so we need to work on those core beliefs.
That's the next practical step. You need to identify those limiting beliefs. Things like, I don't deserve success, or I'll never be financially secure. And then you treat them like, no, like a flawed hypothesis. You actively work to reframe them.
How do you reframe them effectively?
You turn them into positive, measurable affirmations grounded in reality. Not just, I am rich, but maybe I am actively learning and applying skills to manage my money effectively. Or, I am capable of building healthy, supportive relationships. And repetition is key here. Saying it, writing it, thinking it, you're essentially training your brain to accept a new, more empowering narrative.
That training, that repetition, that sounds like it leads straight into neuroplasticity, the brain actually changing.
Exactly. Neuroplasticity is the scientific bedrock for all of this. It's the brain's incredible ability to reorganize itself, to form new neural connections and prune away old ones all throughout our lives. So when we talk about manifestation from this perspective, we're really talking about targeted brain training, deliberately strengthening useful pathways and weakening the unhelpful ones.
And how does that actually happen, like on a cellular level?
It comes down to a principle called Hebb's Law. You've probably heard the phrase, neurons that fire together, wire together.
Right.
Every time you have a thought, visualize something, or perform an action, the neurons involved in that process fire signals to each other. The more often they fire together, the stronger that connection, that synapse, becomes. Think of it like carving a path in a forest. The more you use it, the wider and easier it gets. In the brain, this involves building up myelin sheathing around the nerve fibers, making signals travel faster and more automatically along that pathway.
So focusing on success literally builds a success highway in your brain.
In a manner of speaking, yes. And importantly, if you stop using the old pathways, the ones associated with limiting beliefs or self-sabotage,
they fade away.
They weaken through a process called synaptic pruning. The connections literally get dismantled because they aren't being reinforced. So you're not just building new roads, you're actively letting the old, unhelpful ones fall into disrepair.
This really highlights why visualization is more than just daydreaming.
Oh, absolutely. It's mental rehearsal. Scientific studies show that visualizing an action activates the same neural circuits, the same parts of the motor cortex, as actually performing the action. Elite athletes use this constantly. They visualize the perfect race, the perfect shot. Their brain runs the program, reinforcing those success circuits without physical fatigue.
Okay, so the application here for you listening. Daily visualization, maybe 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But make it real.
Yes. Vividness is key. Engage all your senses. What do you see, hear, smell? What does a success feel like emotionally? Get into that state.
But there's a catch, right? The sources emphasize this.
A crucial one. Visualization alone isn't enough. It must be paired with action. Small, consistent steps towards the goal. Why? Because the brain needs real-world feedback. It needs to see that the mental rehearsal translates into actual progress. That link strengthens the belief in the neural pathway. If you only visualize, your brain learns how to visualize, not how to achieve.
Right. Thoughts set the direction. Visualization rehearses it. Action makes it real.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the next piece. The emotional fuel.
Exactly. Emotion is the amplifier. Thoughts might steer the car, but emotion is the gas in the tank. Emotions trigger neurochemicals, dopamine for reward and motivation, serotonin for well-being, oxytocin for connection. These chemicals reinforce the behaviors that led to the positive feeling, making you want to do them again.
And the sources seem to really hone in on one emotion in particular, gratitude. Why is gratitude so powerful here?
It's fascinating, biologically. Practicing gratitude has been shown to improve heart rate variability and vagal tone. That's linked to your parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system. Basically, gratitude shifts your default state away from stress, scarcity, fight or flight, and towards a state of calm, openness, and abundance. You're literally changing your physiological state.
So you're better able to spot opportunities, think clearly.
Precisely. You're more resilient, more optimistic. It chemically primes you for success. So that daily gratitude journal isn't just a nice thing to do, it's neurological conditioning.
And the key is not just writing it down.
Right. The application is, write down maybe three things you're grateful for, but then take 30 seconds, a minute, to actually feel the gratitude. Let that feeling sink into your body. That's what creates the strong neurological shift.
Okay. Now, these discussions often bring in quantum ideas like focus intention. How should we approach that part?
Yeah, neutrally and practically. The sources might mention things like the observer effect in quantum physics, where observing a particle can change its state, but they use it as an analogy, not literal magic. The useful takeaway for you is about how your focused mental energy directs your attention and influences outcomes through your behavior.
So setting an intention frequency, like deciding to approach the day with confidence or curiosity, changes how I act.
Exactly. That intentional emotional state influences your body language, your tone, the risks you take, how you interpret events. It changes your probability of success because you are showing up differently. Walk into a negotiation feeling confident and open, you'll likely get a different result than if you walk in feeling fearful and defensive. Your intention shapes your actions, which shapes the outcome.
Which perfectly tees up the next crucial part, maybe the most crucial.
Yeah.
The missing link. Action.
Yes. All the internal work, the RAS focus, the belief reframing, the emotional state, it builds readiness. It prepares you.
Mm.
But thoughts create the map. Behavior creates the territory. You often hear about the law of attraction, but it's totally incomplete without the law of action.
And staying in action, keeping that momentum going, can be tough. How does the science explain keeping motivated?
It's largely about dopamine and the progress principle. Here's the fascinating thing. Your brain doesn't just release dopamine when you achieve the big goal. It releases dopamine for making progress, for taking steps towards the goal, even tiny steps.
Ah, so each little win gives you a motivation boost.
Exactly. It creates a positive feedback loop. Take a small action, get a little dopamine hit, feel motivated, take another small action. That's how you build what the sources call manifestation momentum.
So the practical advice is break things down, way down.
Ruthlessly. Break huge goals into micro actions, things that feel almost too small to fail at. Want to write a book? Today's action might be open the document and write one sentence. Then, and this is important, mentally acknowledge that small win. Celebrate it internally. That reinforces the dopamine loop, training your brain to enjoy the process of moving forward.
Okay, this is building a really clear picture. Before we wrap up with a daily routine, let's quickly tackle some common myths that trip people up. Myth one. Manifestation is magic.
Reality, nope. It's applied psychology and neuroscience. Focused thought, emotional regulation, consistent action, brain training.
Myth two, you can just think your way to anything, no action needed.
Reality, visualization is crucial for priming the brain, but without action, nothing changes in the real world. Action provides the feedback loop the brain needs.
Myth three, if I try this and fail or hit obstacles, it means it doesn't work for me.
Reality. Failure is just data. It's feedback telling you where to adjust. Maybe you need to refine your focus, tweak your actions, or uncover a deeper limiting belief. It's part of the learning process, not a sign to quit.
Great clarifications. So, pulling all these scientific threads together, the sources suggest simple structure to apply this consistently.
Yeah, it boils down to about a 10-minute daily routine designed to hit all the systems we've discussed. It's quite elegant, really.
What does it involve?
Okay, five parts. First, 2 minutes of morning focus. Visualizing the goal is already achieved, feeling the feelings, programs the RAS. Second, 2 minutes of affirmation, stating your core reframed beliefs or goals out loud, reinforcing the new neural pathways.
Okay.
Third, 2 minutes of gratitude, writing down three things and really feeling it shifts your emotional state. Fourth, 2 minutes of action planning, identifying just one small, achievable micro action you'll take today toward your goal, primes the behavior.
And the last 2 minutes.
Evening reflection. Briefly review your day. What worked? Where did you notice your RAS pointing things out? Where did you take action? What adjustments might be needed for tomorrow? It closes the feedback loop.
10 minutes. That seems incredibly manageable, but hits all the key points. Focus, belief, emotion, action, reflection.
Exactly. It integrates the neuroscience into a practical daily habit.
This has been a fantastic deep dive. It really feels like we've peeled back the layers on manifestation and found the science underneath. It's about neuropsychological alignment, isn't it? Getting your thoughts, emotions, and actions all working together in a measurable way.
That's a perfect summary. And if you zoom out from the mechanics, the source material leaves us with a really powerful, almost provocative final thought. It shifts the focus back to you, the listener.
Okay, let's hear it.
You don't attract what you simply want.
Yeah.
You attract what you are ready for. Readiness isn't just desire. It's the state you achieve through this process. The trained focus, the rewired beliefs, the elevated emotion, the consistent action.
So readiness is something you build.
Precisely. Train your brain. Elevate your emotional state. Act with intention. So the final question for you to consider is this. What is the one small thing you can do today, right now, to signal to your own brain, to the world around you, that you are genuinely ready for the outcome you desire?